I have seen him in Britain. He was then of a crescent note, expected to prove so worthy as since he hath been allowed the name of. But then I could have looked on him without the help of admiration. That a catalogue of his endowments had been tabled by his side, and I to peruse him by items.
You speak of him when he was less furnished than now he is with that which makes him, both without and within.
I have seen him in France. He had very many there could behold the sun with as firm eyes as he. This matter of marrying his king's daughter, wherein he must be weighed rather by her value than his own, words him, I doubt not, a great deal from the matter.
And then his banishment.
Ah. And the approbation of those that meet this lamentable divorce under her colours are wonderfully to extend him, albeit but to fortify her judgment, which else an easy battery may lay flat for taking a beggar without less quality. How comes it he is to sojourn with you?
Hmm?
How creeps acquaintance?
His father and I were soldiers together, to whom I have been often bound for no less than my life. And here comes a bit. Let him be so entertained amongst you, suits with a gentleman of your knowing, the stranger of his quality. I beseech you both to be better known to this gentleman, whom I commend to you as a noble friend of mine. How worthy he is, I will leave to appear hereafter, rather than story him in his own hearing.
Sir, we have known together in Orleans.
Since when I have been debtor to you for courtesies, which I will be ever to pay and yet pay still.
Oh, sir, you will erase my poor kindness.
I was glad I did atone my countrymen and you.
Oh. It had been pity you should have been put together with so mortal a purpose as then each bore, upon importance of so slight and trivial a nature.
Oh, by your pardon, sir, I was then a young traveller, rather shunned to go even with what I heard than in my every action to be guided by others' experiences. But upon my mended judgments, if I offend not to say it is mended, my quarrel was not altogether slight.
Can we, with manners, ask what was the difference?
Mm. Safely, I think. 'Twas a contention in public which may, without contradiction, suffer the report. It was much like an argument that fell out last night, where each of us fell in praise of our country mistresses. This gentleman at that time vouching, and upon warrant of bloody affirmation, his to be more fair, virtuous, wise, chaste, constant, qualified, and less attemptable than any of the rarest of our ladies in France.
That lady is not now living.
Hmm?
Or else this gentleman's opinion by this worn out.
She holds her virtue still, and I my mind.
You must not so far prefer her for ours of Italy.
Being so far provoked as I was in France, I would abate her nothing. For I profess myself her adorer, not her friend.
Ah, as fair and as good. Kind of hand-in-hand comparison. Had been something too fair and too good for any lady in Britain. If she went before others as I have seen, ah, that diamond of yours outlusters many I have beheld, I could not but believe she excelled many. But I've not seen the most precious diamond that is, nor you the lady.
I praised her as I rated her. So do I my stone.
What do you esteem it at?
More than the world enjoys.
Mm. Either your unparagoned mistress is dead, or she's outprized by a trifle.
No, you're mistaken. One may be sold or given if there were wealth enough for the purchase or merit for the gift. The other is not a thing for sale, and is only the gift of the gods.
Which the gods have given you.
Which by their graces I will keep.
Mm. You may wear her in title yours, but you know strange foul light upon neighboring ponds. Your ring may be stolen too, so your brace of unprizable estimation, the one is but frail and the other casual. A cunning thief or a that way accomplished courtier could hazard the winning of both first and last.
Your Italy contains none so accomplished a courtier to convince the honor of my mistress. If in the holding or loss of that you term her frail, and nothing doubt you store of thieves, notwithstanding, I fear not my ring.
Let us leave her, gentlemen.
Sir, with all my heart. This worthy senior, I thank him, makes no stranger of me. We are familiar at first.
With five times so much conversation, I should get ground of your fair mistress. Make her go back, even to the yielding, had I admittance and opportunity to friend.
No, no.
I dare thereupon pawn the moiety of my estate to your ring, which in my opinion all values it something, but I make my wager rather against your confidence than her reputation. And to bar your offence hereinto, I durst attempt it against any lady in the world.
You're a great deal abused in too bold a persuasion.
Gentlemen, enough of this. It came in too suddenly. If it dies, it was born, and I pray you be better acquainted.
Would I have put my estate and my neighbors upon the approbation of what I have spoke?
What lady did you choose to assail?
Yours, whom in constancy you think stand so safe. I will lay you 10,000 ducats to your ring. Commend me to the court where your lady is, and with no more advantage than the opportunity of a second conference. And I will bring from thence that honor of hers you imagine so reserved.
I will wage against your gold. Go to it. My ring I hold dear as my finger. It is part of it.
You're afraid. And therein the wiser. If you buy lady's flesh at 1,000,000 a dram, you cannot preserve it from tainting. But I see you have some religion in you that you fear.
This is but a custom in your tongue. You bear a graver purpose, I hope.
I am the master of my speeches, and I would undergo what's spoken, I swear.
Will you? I shall but lend my diamond till your return. Let there be covenants drawn between us. My mistress exceeds in goodness the hugeness of your unworthy thinking. I dare you to this match. Here's my ring.
I'll have it no later.
By the gods, it is won. If I bring you no sufficient testimony that I have enjoyed the dearest bodily part of your mistress, my 10,000 ducats are yours, so is your diamond too. If I come off and leave her in such honor as you have trust in, she your jewel, that your jewel, and my gold are yours, provided I have your commendation for my more free entertainment.
I embrace these conditions. Let us have articles betwixt us. Only thus far you shall answer. If you make your voyage upon her, and give me directly to understand you have prevailed, I am no further your enemy. She's not worth our debate. If she remain unseduced, you not making it appear otherwise, for your ill opinion and the assault you have made to her chastity, you shall answer me with your sword.
Your hand. A covenant. We will have these things set down by lawful counsel and straight away for Britain, lest the bargain should catch cold and starve.